Tonight, we are going to have a slightly different format than normal because I would like to highlight the board over there. We've got the world map up, and I've only gotten one map of Atherton and a map of the whole region, and I want to get a few more maps of the different areas. And what I would like us to do tonight is to get excited about giving God's word to everyone around us. And one way of doing that is to put a tract in their letterbox. It is not the only, or maybe even the best, but it is a good way. It's a good way for us to get out of our comfort zones and as a church to make sure that we are reaching out to people who might not have stopped by here. And to make sure that we're reaching out to people who've only just arrived to the Tablelands. And to reach out to those who have given up on God. This gives us an opportunity to come face to face with them. There are other opportunities, and I don't want to list all of them tonight, but if you ever get a chance to go to the markets and to hand out tracts for even a short time, it encourages you because you are giving God's word according to His command. It encourages those who see you, but it also challenges all those who are unsaved with the truth of the gospel. And so it is an opportunity. But all of those things are individually to be done. When we talk about putting tracts or other flyers into every letterbox, we are talking about doing something together, but each one has to do it individually. And really, this is a picture for how the church operates. Yes, Pastor gets up and he speaks all by himself for a bit every Sunday, and hopefully you're all listening. But truthfully, your Christian life is not sitting in that pew. Your Christian life is when you are living it day by day, and Pastor can't live it for you. You have to live for Christ, and that is on you. I'm here to equip you, to get you ready, to motivate you, to challenge you, to encourage you, everything I can do to get you ready so that you are able to give the gospel when it is necessary. To facilitate this, we're going to look at a passage in Scripture, and then we will come back to a few testimonies throughout the message. And I will give a couple of testimonies that I have. And then, if you can think of some where either you gave a tract, that is something that was written down to bless and encourage someone, or to challenge them towards salvation, or a time when you received a gospel tract and it hit you upside the head, and it caused you to think, it caused you to turn to God. So for our main passage this evening, we're going to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to Matthew chapter 28. And we have the stirring Great Commission. In fact, that's what we often call this section, the Great Commission. And yet, do we actually treat it as a Great Commission? A commission is a instruction. It is a commandment. It is a authority that you can then go and do. That is what a commission is for. And so we see this commissioning of the 11 after Jesus' death and before his ascension. Verse 16 of Matthew 28 says, "And the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We're going to focus in on Jesus' statement here, this commissioning, but then we will look at how this impacts the disciples, where they were at that time, and how it should encourage and propel us. Tonight, we might think of ourselves as bullets, and here is Jesus' aim for each one of you. That you would be shot out of that rifle barrel and hit the target that he has aimed at. The target is to reach all heaven and earth. Let's look now at verse 19 and see the scope of this impact or where he is aiming us. Jesus says, "Go therefore and teach all nations." There is not a place that Jesus does not want his word to work in power. There is not a single location or nationality or tongue or people group that God does not intend for them to find out about Jesus. That is God's intention, and this is Jesus aiming at all nations. You are one bullet. You probably won't be able to hit all nations. And even for some of the fastest, high-flying evangelists, or for our purposes, Paul, they did not go to every single nation themselves. Instead, Jesus is giving 11 men this instruction, and those 11 men are going to pass that instruction on, and each one of us are receiving that very same goal or aim that we would reach all nations. That includes Atherton Tablelands. That includes all of the people who are here just for a short time harvesting. It includes all the people that we send missionaries out to. It includes all of that and more. It includes everyone. Jesus wants us to teach all nations. We then find that this teaching is going to result in one action, and this teaching is concerning everything Jesus taught his 12 disciples. It is one action that we teach. We do not teach a sevenfold path to enlightenment. I think that's what the Buddhists do. We don't teach a five steps of the Holy Cross like the Catholics do. We don't teach for people to do actions that are going to get them into heaven. Instead, we teach them one action that comes after their salvation. We teach them, then baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We baptize them recognizing their connection to the Son, the Father, and the Holy Ghost. I got those out of order. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That is what we are baptizing them in. We are not making them a part of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We are acknowledging where they already are. For John the Baptist, his baptism was not the same exactly, but his baptism was a baptism of repentance. And so that meant that as they went down into the water, they confessed all of their sins. That's what it tells us. And when they came up, they were renouncing all of those sins. It was a baptism because they already in their heart were rejecting their sins and wanted to continue to reject them. The baptism was a symbol of what was going on inside their heart. Here, we are baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost because they are unified with God. And we are showing that to the whole world. That's the action. But the teaching, what is it that we are to teach them? Verse 20, we are teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Jesus has commanded many things in the Gospels. He called out to the 12 and others, "Follow me, follow me, follow me." This is still his command. He commands us to follow him. Jesus also commanded them to have faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. This is a command of Jesus. Let us then do so. And these are things that we need to teach. And there are many others. I'm not going to go through because it would take a month of Sundays to go through all the different things that Jesus taught his disciples and those who followed him. We are meant to, though, teach everyone in the world these things. And we are to bring them to the point of salvation and then beyond to following our Savior. Handing out tracts is only an introduction. It is only, maybe a better term would be, an invitation. It's not sitting down at the full course meal, but instead it is the letter written out. Please come at this time, at this place, just like a wedding invitation might be. You're going to show up, and then there will be the blessings. The gospel tract is that starting place. It's a first step that we can do for reaching out, for teaching others that Jesus has come. I want us to note, before we leave Jesus' saying here, in verse 18, he declares the power that he has. He says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus has all power. And then I want us to notice his connection to us at the end of verse 20. He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." If the almighty, all-powerful, and all-authority, Jesus, is with us, even to the end of the world, then why would we be afraid at any point when Jesus is with us? We shouldn't be. Not only that, but you might say, "I don't have the skill. I don't have the words. I'm not confident. I'm too young. Or I'm too slow." You know, there's some people that are faster than others. When I was at Bible college, we had a vacation Bible school. Very big thing. And in order to invite out as many people as we could, we would letterbox over a million houses we couldn't letterbox. We had to put it in their door. But anyways, we would door knock almost a million places there in Milwaukee, because the church was just outside of Milwaukee. And there was one family, they always won the prize for putting out the most. They were the quickest. They had a cheat, though. They would put their rollerblades on, and they would actually, there was four teenage kids with the rollerblades on, and they would be trucking it down the road, and choo, 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 choo. Well, they were fast. But anyways, we would spend weeks putting out tracks, and some were fast and some were slow. It doesn't matter how fast or slow you think you are, how smart you think you are, or your abilities. If you are truly accompanied by Jesus, the one who has all power, then there is nothing that you should be afraid of. What's the worst that man can do to you? What's the worst? I've knocked on many doors, some with the signs like, "You're not welcome." And you still knock on the door and you're like, "I hope they don't come out swinging." And yet the worst that anyone ever did was yell a few angry words at me. There has never been a time where I've even been in danger physically. And yet God was with me in all of that. God gives strength. I want us now to see the disciples for who they were. In verse 16 and 17, we have the disciples. They are obeying Jesus. They are following his teachings. Jesus had told them, go to a certain place, and they went there and they waited for him. they were obeying Jesus. We could probably conclude the message right there and just say, we know Jesus has all power. He's commanded you to go out. Are you going to obey? The place that Jesus appointed him, that's where they were. Notice their reaction when they saw him. They worshipped him, but some doubted. They worshipped Jesus. That is the correct response. Going out and handing out tracts or telling other people about our great Savior is an act of worship. It is bowing your will before God and saying, this person needs Jesus too. It's an act of worship. We find, though, that they still had doubt. The disciples, after seeing him, after putting their hand in his side, yet still they doubted. You might think, how could they doubt? And I think Jesus knew not only that they doubted, but why. Because it's almost like he is answering their doubt. Their doubt was not that Jesus was actually in front of them. Their doubt was not in who Jesus was, because they were doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. But their doubt was in their own ability to carry out Jesus' commission. When Jesus first called the 12, he called them to be fishers of men. They knew what he wanted them to do, to go and to preach. They knew that. And yet they also knew their own hardness of heart and how they had hidden away when Jesus was crucified. They also knew, some of them more than others, how much they had denied him in his death. Peter literally denied him on 3 separate occasions during the night of Christ's death, before Christ's death. That is the kind of people that we are talking about, and so they are doubting. And so we find here a great deal of comfort. Jesus not only says he has all power, but that he is with them. If you doubted that you would live up to Jesus' standard and that you would be able to serve him, what would bring you more comfort than knowing that Jesus has all power and that he will be with you? I submit, nothing. There's nothing greater than knowing that. If Jesus is with me, I'll go anywhere. Why? Because Jesus is powerful. Jesus knows what is going on inside the heart of the person that you've just randomly walked up to and handed a tract. He also knows what things you could say that would actually help and impact that person. Jesus knows all of that. And he can empower you to do his will. So we'll give a few examples of tracts being handed out and it making an impact. The first one that I like to go to, because it is precious to me, is actually my dad's testimony of salvation. My dad had graduated from high school and he had gone off. He had gone to Sunday school as a little boy, but only as a very little boy, and then they had not been to church for many years. He was living as wild as he wanted. He doesn't talk much about it. I have seen one picture from that time, and it's a bit weird because he had long hair. very long hair. and anyway, he doesn't talk about it much. But as he was going across America on his bike, he was going from place to place, and every place that he stopped, someone approached him. One day he stopped and someone handed him a tract. He took it, he saw what it was, and he threw it away. The next day, wherever he stopped, someone said, "Do you know about Jesus? Son, you need Jesus." Handed him a tract. He didn't keep any of those tracts. He didn't even read them. But he was under the impression that God was chasing him. He said, this can't be a coincidence. Every town, every place from, he grew up in Michigan, from Michigan all the way across the country to California, someone stops him and hands him a tract. That can't be a coincidence. After a short while there, he made his way back home. And as soon as he got home, his brother was on furlough from the Navy. And he was there and said, Ross, that's my dad, can you quiz me on my Bible verses? Now, his brother had been saved for a number of years and was involved in the Navigators program, and doing scripture memory was a big part of that. And so here my dad is, he's just been chased by God across one end of the country and back again. People handing him tracts left, right, and center, and he doesn't want to have anything to do with it. And then his brother comes up to him and says, can you review my verses for me? And so then my uncle is preaching at my dad over and over again, going over all the memory verses that he had. God used tracts to chase my father. You may have handed out a tract at the marketplace or somewhere at some point and thought, what good did it do? You know, I saw that someone threw away a couple of tracts. You know, did I actually accomplish anything? And yet God might be pursuing someone through a tract that they didn't even bother to read. God can be pursuing them through the tracts. The question now comes, are there anyone here who has an example of a time God used a tract to influence, chase down someone else or yourself? Yes, Joy. Yep, that is 100% the power of God at work, not us. Because we would have said, oh, no fruit after 5 years. We wouldn't even be praying for it anymore. And yet God worked. That's an amazing testimony. Another one, a time that God used the written word handed out to someone to impact them. Yes, Brother Buddy.
John Bunyan's biography, if I remember correctly, said he was on the way home from the pub, drunk, and a piece of paper flew against his chest, and he put it in his pocket. It was a gospel tract. He didn't know that someone had thrown it in the road, Christian, saying, Lord, help a bad man find this tract. And it was, he said, it took him 7 years from that first contact gospel before he came to Christ, but that was the first contact.
Yep. And there's others, historical ones that we can use. I know at one point Baptists were known for this particular thing, handing out of tracts. In fact, they were accused in many places of being obnoxious. That was the word used. Obnoxious, because you cannot go down the street without the Baptists thrusting a tract into your face. And they are obnoxious. So this should be part of our DNA. If we know Christ, we want to initiate discussions of Christ. We want to initiate a path for someone to come to salvation, and tracts are a very good way of doing so. Any others? Testimonies? Susan?
Introduction. It's that thing that the Lord can use, and the word of
Yeah, sometimes it's enough. It's the at the right time, the right moment, their heart's prepared, and boom, they get saved. But for the most part, this is the seed being planted, watered, encouraged to grow. Yes, Joe. Yeah. Yep. No, that is true. And to be perfectly honest, fewer and fewer people can read well anymore, which means tracts are losing some of their effectiveness because people aren't reading. So we can't say tracts are the only way possible. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we got a couple hundred years of good use out of them, and sometimes God uses them in ways we can't imagine, but your point is well taken. There are other ways of initiating contact. Maybe we'll take a few moments and think of ways that we might initiate conversations about Christ. What's something, maybe from this middle section, if one of you can think of something that you do on, say, a weekly basis where you come face to face with someone who's not here at church? Yes. Yep. Yep. Isaac?
I do bowling every Thursday night with one of the guys from Jubilee. And the owner of the alley has been very hard about the Lord for a long time. And we have a really good chat. It's not daily, but every now and then I get to say something to him. But he's just had a couple of spinal fusions. Just happened just on Tuesday. And he's still in hospital. And I told him before he went in, I said, I'm praying for you if that counts for anything. And to my shock, he said,
yeah. So that's a regular thing. I want to point that out. That's a regular thing. You know, there's something I do every week. I have to fuel up the car. In fact, I have to fuel up both the cars. Pretty much every week, I'm at the petrol station. Do you know I pull into the petrol station and often there's someone else fueling up? There's also, on many occasions, when I walk in to pay, there's a cashier standing there. And I'm face to face with them. This isn't the only time, but those are opportunities that we can take. And you don't have to use a tract when doing so. You can do, as was just mentioned, just saying something about how good God is to us, how God loves us, how the weather is because God's been good. Hasn't God been good to give us so much rain or so much sun? You know, that kind of thing brings to their attention, oh, God? And then you might find them asking the question, who is this God? Why do you think you know what God knows? How do you know God? And then you can begin to explain to them Jesus and Him crucified. What's another opportunity for... Yes. Yeah, that opens the door a lot. Children are a very good, even at the markets, we've found that. Thomas, you need to get down. Sit down. Our children are good openings for discussions. but at the markets, it's really great when the girls are standing there with me and they hand out a couple of tracts. Nobody refuses them at all because they're so cute and they're like... children are often a great help in that. But I hope you are all encouraged and challenged here that we need to be fulfilling the Great Commission. And that includes here and now, as well as sending missionaries and making plans for trips away or whatnot. We need to be fulfilling God's commission today. And that includes going and letterboxing every street. That's my intention, that we put a letter tract in every letterbox on the tablelands in the next year. We should be able to do so. The church in Wagga did all of Wagga in 3 years, was it? 3 years it took us. We would go out every Saturday, and we would do just an hour, and there was only, at max, 10 of us to go out, and yet we did 60,000 people within 3 years. So surely we can do that same here. If it takes us 3 years, it takes us 3 years, but let's get out there, and let's be fulfilling Jesus' commission to us. Because he is the one who has all power and authority, and he is the one who commanded us to go. All right, let's close with a word of prayer, and then we can continue fellowshipping afterwards. Our Heavenly Father, we beg you for your blessing tonight. We thank you that your word is clear. We thank you that you have given us not only the command to go and teach and preach and baptize, but you have given us different means and opportunities. Lord, we ask that you would give us the boldness, the reliance upon you. May we feel your presence and therefore go in certainty of your help as we deliver these little notes of hope unto every single person on the tablelands. Father, we ask that you would open much doors of opportunity this week for us to speak to our friends and neighbors. And Lord, might we truly be lights in a dark and dreary world. And Father, we do pray that you would burden each one with exactly where and how and when you would like them to move and to jump to do your will. Father, we ask these things that your name would be praised both now and forever. Amen.